Marriage and family is so important. Right. Amen. Praise God. And one of the things that before we even get started today, we're going to be having a marriage and family class starting on Wednesday night, March 18th.
Yeah.
And we really encourage anyone to be a part of that. You know, it is not for people that are facing struggles or only for people that are facing struggles in relationships or in marriage. It's to strengthen marriage, family, and relationships. You're even thinking about getting married. We just encourage you to sign up for that class. And there's more information at the info center about that.
Yes, yes.
And we just encourage that. And so today, as we continue, as I said earlier, love, many times we see a match made in heaven. I want to qualify this because many times people, you know, I know how different people, they like, you know, the Hallmark Channel and watch, you know, romance novels and those kind of things, just dream of the perfect thing. And then after reality sets in, many times they say, well, you know what, that's hope you realize that's not always reality in everybody's life.
Well, the world, you know, paints a perfect picture, a Cinderella and a Prince Charming, and they think everything's going to be perfect, and it isn't.
It isn't.
Marriage takes work.
Yep, and we want to qualify what we mean about match made in heaven, and really, the Hallmark thing is not what we're talking about. Even though I'm not against all of that, I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm just saying many times it paints pictures of unrealistic expectation in people's lives. Let's talk about what the Word of God says about relationships, marriage, and family. And in doing so, let's look at Deuteronomy again, chapter 11, and read a portion of Scripture here and see what God's Word says about this. Amen. And then kind of explain what we mean about a match made in heaven. Begin with verse 18. It says, therefore, shall you lay up these words, these my words in your heart. That's talking about God's word. And in your soul, which is your mind, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, they don't depart out of our sight.
Right.
And you shall teach them to your children. Here we go, parents. And speaking of them when you sit at the house. In other words, we're not just looking at the phone when we're at the table. We talk about God's word. Amen.
Oh,
and speak the word. Hallelujah. Speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Amen. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied. And the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon earth. And that's the phrase that we emphasized last week. We emphasize again this week, as the days of heaven upon earth. You know, God surely doesn't want our life and our marriage to be anything but like days of heaven on earth. And even though that's not always the case, it can get there. And so today, we're just reminding everyone that God wants and intends and has gotten the way that our lives, whether we're single or married, and our marriages, they can experience and reflect God's blessing.
Yes.
And what we want to do is show you how. And when your life and marriage is in accordance and lived in accordance with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the will of God for it, then God will turn what your life is and your marriage and your relationship into days of heaven upon earth. In other words, bringing His blessing and victory in it. How many may need a touch of victory in here today? Well, we all can, and we can all walk in that. But if we never hear that, then we just think, you know what, my life, my marriage will never change. I'm trapped, I'm stuck. And that's not true.
Yeah.
Or if you're single, that you know that somehow you're less than, and you know, all the lies that the devil would tell you. But I can tell you, God wants to bring His blessing and His victory in our lives. Now when we say that doesn't mean whether you're single or you're married, everything is going to be perfect, because we all are going to face tests and trials in this life, challenges to our faith life. Listen, there is no such thing as uncontested faith. There's no such thing as unchallenged faith. And as long as we live a life of faith, you're going to have to use your faith to win over the obstacles, the tests, and the trials that come our way. Can I get amen in here today?
Yes,
praise God. But what God wants us to know, that even though that everything isn't always perfect, when we start doing things God's way, that our lives will reflect God's goodness and blessing in and upon it. Mm-hmm. And the key is this, simply this, is learning to do whatever you and I do, whether we're single, married, or parents for our family, or children, whoever we are, learning as soon as we can to do things God's way. And that is what today's message is going to be entitled for the note takers, praise God, which I encourage. Learning to do things God's way. Yes. And so what does that mean? That simply means this, love and church, that God's word is our answer and becomes our God, G-U-I-D-E, our God, what we live our lives by.
Yes.
And the sooner we learn to do that, the better off we all are. Now, we're going to put up Proverbs 16:20 from the Amplified Translation. It says it so well. It says, He who deals wisely and heeds God's word and counsel shall find good. Notice how you're going to find good? By heeding God's word. Mm-hmm. That's when we heed God's word, God says we are dealing wisely.
Yeah.
We're walking in wisdom by heeding God's word and counsel. He shall find good. And whoever leans on, trust in, and is confident in the Lord, that means in his word, happy, blessed, and fortunate is he. So here's the truth. God's word is our answer. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Praise God. Yes. And we must hear. So what that means is, when in our lives, we must come to this realization that our own inadequacy to guide our lives apart from God and his word is something, the sooner we realize, the better off we are. In other words, apart from God's word and help and guidance, we are inadequate of directing our own life successfully. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of times people will argue that, say, look at that multi-billionaire. I want to remind you what Jesus said about that multi-billionaire. What does a prophet of a man gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Just because you have the world, which you think, doesn't mean that the world don't have you, really. And who has you? I'd rather have Jesus have me. And come on, you're going to find the blessing that we're talking about is going to be because we're heeding God and his word, and without allowing that to guide and help our life. And what we have to do is realize that really the inadequacy that we have to successfully God our lives. Now, if you want a good definition of successful, I'm going to give you a biblical definition of successful, because we really have nothing to say to you today apart from what God's word says. But you better be glad of that, because you don't want to hear Pastor Chris and Pastor Debbie's natural counsel, because the only counsel we're going to give you is the word of God. The definition of successful, the best definition is this: finding God's will for your life and fulfilling it. That's how you're successful. Finding the will of God for your life and fulfilling it. And you're going to find it in the word of God. Yeah. Remember, the will of God is not hidden from you. It's written for you.
Yes.
Praise God. Jeremiah 10:23, I'll go through this really quick, says this: Oh Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Wow. So that shows us once again our inadequacy to successfully do and lead our own lives. Proverbs 20:24 says it like this: man's goings or steps are of the Lord. How, ask this question, how can a man then understand his own way? That's a great question. Well, you want to know what the answer is? It's found in the Word again, and it's Psalms 37, verse 23. We'll read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." That's pretty awesome.
Yes.
So it doesn't make it, I love that part, love, where it says he delights in every detail of our life. Because I'm looking out here today and we've got people from all different, what I call marketplace ministers. You work somewhere, whether you own your own business or you're working for someone else. I call you a marketplace minister because you are in the world, not of the world, but you're there to make a difference for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And even though your job may not be paying you to preach the gospel, you are to be the salt in the light. You're to be a minister of reconciliation, to be an ambassador for God.
God says to be a witness. That word witness means to be a proof producer.
That's pretty good.
Woo! And he is alive. Yeah. He's alive so much he changed your life and you're telling everybody.
And a lot of times people think, well, is God really interested in that? What can he do in a truck driver's life? What can he do in a person that's turning wrenches or teaching or staying at home with their children as a housewife? It says he delights in every detail of your life.
Yeah, that's right.
This is awesome. He hasn't forgotten us.
Mm-mm.
And the Lord wants to direct our steps. And this is so important. The Word of God for us reveals God's plan and will for our lives and our marriages, and the good that God has prepared for us, like the days of heaven and on earth. The reason why he's interested in every detail of your life, everything that you do, because he wants to have his hand in it. If his hand is touching it, then if you're letting him guide you, directing you, and you're in his will for your life and not in your own, he's required to bless it.
Yep.
And he will empower you and make you and I a blessing. But there's a difference between God's plan and God's way and our plan and our way. God's plan and God's way, doing things his way, is different than our plan and our way. And how do we know? Because you heard last week, and we'll bring that up again. You heard last week about our lives, BC, before we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. But when his will, God's will, and becomes our will. Remember, Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And it wasn't just for Jesus to say that. He's our example.
Yeah.
When God's will becomes our will, and we're going in his direction, in his vision for our lives, it can take us that our lives reflect days of heaven on earth.
Yes.
It's not a living hell. It's a living a life for Jesus Christ, and it's like days of heaven upon earth. Now, last week, love, we did share briefly some of our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And of us coming to Christ and some of the things that God had to do in our lives. How, you know, when we got married, we didn't know any of this. And for those first 2 years of our life, really quickly, I was doing my own thing. Most of you know what my God was, and it wasn't Jesus Christ. Amen. It was hunting and fishing.
Somebody,
and even though hunting and fishing is not wrong, hunting and fishing just can't be your God. Neither could anything else that you want to put before God in your life. But I lived, ate, drank it, and slept it, and did all those things. And after 2 years, I was so, like most husbands are, literally blind, because your needs are being met because you're having fun doing what you want to do. But your spouse's need, if you don't ask, may not be met. And I didn't ask because I was having fun. I was doing my own thing and assuming wrong that she was, you know.
You was out there trying to catch all those sharks.
Yeah, I was. Praise the Lord. And so the thing of it was, is you heard a testimony how Pastor Debbie came to Christ. A few months later, I did. It came to Christ. And he not only changed our lives, but our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we talked about BC last time, really briefly, before we move on to where we, the meat of where we want to go today, and this is meat as well, we want to talk about what happened in our lives once we made Jesus the Lord of our lives. Because you see us here today, and everybody thinks everything is always perfect. We never have any problems. We never have any challenges. But we really have the same challenges anyone else has. Only maybe multiplied because we're always dealing with other people's challenges as well. Amen. Praise God. And so, but we love it because we're in the will of God. God called us to do this. But what we found out this, what you need to understand is this. When we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, Christ not only changed our lives, but he changed our marriage. Mm-hmm. Because we learned to live our lives for Christ and to do things God's way.
Yeah.
You know, God has a plan for your life and for your marriage. Not just to bring your plan to pass, but to his plan and will to pass in your life. And so, before we were other ministers, we were believers. You know, a lot of people say, well, Pastor, the reason you get people saved is because you're a pastor. Now, I get people saved. I tell people all the time, I don't get people saved because I'm a pastor. I get people saved because I'm a believer.
That's it.
So before I was ever a minister, we were no different than you. We were believers. When we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life in 1986, for me, March the 30th, 1986, at the age of 24. Pastor Debbie, a few months before, had given her heart to the Lord. And then we're trying to communicate with everyone in here today. Not only did God change our individual lives, but because we now knew we had to apply the same word to our marriage that we applied to our lives.
Right.
And we lived our life that way. Amen. And so we became believers. And so what that meant was that a believer, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you something. Amen. He'll take us from being believers to be disciples. Amen. And then in being disciples, we're prepared to be what I call marketplace ministers. That wherever we go, whatever we put our hand to, God is using our lives to witness, to share, and to be a life-giving source to people that may not know Jesus Christ, and an encouragement to other believers that do know him and do love him, but may be going through challenges. We're to not only to reach and help the lost, we're to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be an encouragement, not one that's always sucking the life out of everybody, but giving, a life-giving. And I want to share with you really briefly how Pastor Debbie and I did this. How we went from being, this is going to be really quick, how we went from being believers to a disciple and then being marketplace ministers. Well, first of all, the Word of God changed life. The very thing to learn to do it God's way is that what we had to do. We fell in love with this book.
Yes, still are.
And we still are. We became hungry. We devoured this Word. We shared many times of how we learned the Word of God and the importance of it. And today, for time's sake, you know, I would say this. Our meditation upon the Word of God produced the revelation that propels us even today. It took us from being a believer to a disciple, a true, genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. See, you can be, you can be a believer without being a disciple, but you can't be a disciple without being a believer. Amen.
And we both were working secular jobs. Yeah. I was in the shipyard. He was a meat cutter.
Yeah.
And so we made the most of the time that we had.
Yes.
I had to get up early to go to the shipyard. I always got up earlier, so I made sure I had time with the Lord and in the Word.
And we did it. We both did.
Yes, we did.
And then we built our life around God's Word, mm-hmm. God's will, and God's way. Whatever His Word said, we endeavored to apply it to our lives. We grew. The other thing that was so important to us is getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, being filled with the Holy Spirit like they were in Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
That
being filled with the Holy
one.
Spirit
was
a big
one.
Was a major one.
Yes.
Amen. It propels us to be the disciples that God called us to be. But then the part that married the Word and Holy Spirit and caused us to go deeper than we ever could on our own was the local church.
There you go.
The local church. I cannot overstate the local church, how important it was. You know, I am so thankful today that I stand as the pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. But the day I walked in this church in 1986, I had no idea that one day I would be the pastor of the church. But I can assure you this, what was happening then in that church then, right then, was the things that changed our lives and propelled us so that we would become the disciples and become the marketplace ministers and one day be the pastor of this church. Us, every time the doors were open, you know, we didn't give ourselves the multiple choice. We just decided to live our life this way.
Yep.
And it didn't hurt us. It only helped us. And in doing that, we found the perfect will of God for our lives. Now, everybody's a perfect will isn't going to be behind a pulpit. But your pulpit will look different. Your pulpit may be behind an 18-wheeler. It may be behind a register. It may be across the table of someone you're teaching or instructing. It could look many different ways.
True.
Amen. But the point is, the local church played. I cannot overstate the importance of it. And, you know, for time's sake today, I remind us of the many scriptures, one of which is Hebrews 10:25. Just write it down. It says, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Hallelujah. Praise God. But all the more as you see the day approaching.
There you go.
Praise God. What day? Jesus coming back.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. And you know what? If the trumpet sounds and we're found in church, wonderful. Praise God. If not, wonderful. But we're going to be ready. But the point is, the local church helped prepare that.
Yes.
But we're going to show you very quickly a blast from the past. Okay? And show that, yes, we had people praying for us. Thank God for all the people that prayed for us. Thank God for the wonderful people we met that strengthened us, the people. But above all else, the people that played the biggest impact were our pastors. Mm-hmm. And so we just really quick, for fun, wanted to show you some of them that have played a significant role in our lives. And originally, Pastor Bob and Betty Ann and Pastor Jerry and Jill. Amen. Can we put those pictures up? Praise God. There we go. Amen. So this was actually back in 2006 when we actually had this facility dedicated. Pastor Bob and Betty Ann were the original pastors here. Amen. That we came in under. Praise God. Yeah. In 1986. That we came under, they were significant in our lives. We grew under their ministry, and they asked us to do things we would never do ourselves.
That's for sure.
Praise God. Pushed us out of the nest, but they taught us and they helped us. And then in 1992, Pastor Jerry and Jill Spurrell, put that back up. Pastor, the other picture back up, please. Pastor Jerry, praise the Lord. Thank you. Pastor Jerry and Jill Spurrell, there in the middle, they were the pastor here 10 years. Mm-hmm. And in 2002, they approached us to take over the pastorate. They were a tremendous blessing. Are you talking about?
At that time, I was at the other facility.
And we were at the other facility, obviously. We didn't move it here until 2006. Amen. But they were a tremendous blessing, and they too asked us to do many things that we would never do or dream of ourselves. Matter of fact, anything significant that I've ever done for the Lord, I never initiated. I was either asked or commanded to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? That's not that didn't hurt us.
Mm-mm.
That only helped us. I don't have the time to talk about that, but they were a tremendous blessing. And this is when we took over and dedicated the facility. We called them in because they were such a significant part in our lives. Now, moving forward, we also want to show Dr. Caseman here. The next picture, Dr. Caseman, who we're licensed and ordained with, AFCM, International Association of Faith Churches and Ministers. Amen. He is the president of, and he a tremendous blessing to us. Very humble, and we're very thankful to him being a part of our lives and helping us. Yes. And then, last but not least, Pastor JB and Susan Whitfield. Amen. Our pastors, that if we have anything going on, we just pick up the phone, we call them and talk to them. And, you know, he's the kind of pastor that tells you to do something, and then he'll say, "Now, I'm going to call you next week, Pastor Debbie, and find out whether Pastor Morgan is doing it or not." Praise the Lord. He's the kind that in the meeting that we've had before, I said, "Now, you know," he says, "Pastor Morgan, this is what I think. Matter of fact, this is not what I think you should do. This is what I know you should do. And how I know is because I've lived it, and this is going to help you do this." And I said, "Well, you know, now I know what Jesus felt like in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, 'Not my will, but your will be done, Lord.'" Because how many know your pastors will push you beyond what you want to do sometimes, but it's the will of God for your life. Yes, they have been a tremendous blessing to our lives, and it all goes back to what the local church.
Yeah.
Because we could not have gotten where we are without other fellow believers and without pastors in our lives that helped us, that trained us and encouraged us and was always there for us. It's so important to our lives.
Praise God.
Amen.
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 Is it my turn?
Hey, it's your turn, baby. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we wanted to share that part of history on the other side. Oh, yeah, you want to be cut off. Stephen, go cut me off here in a minute, okay? The other side of BC. Go ahead, love.
All right. So we're talking about a match made in heaven, learning to do it God's way.
Somebody bring me a chair. I'm going to sit down now. Praise the Lord. No, just pray and go.
You know, the Bible says that in the last days, the home family will come under assault. The devil does not like a marriage, a family, your children. He's out to destroy, kill, steal, and that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, in the time that we're living in, it's no time to be weak, but to be strong Christians and rise up and do what the Bible says we are to do. So we must learn to take steps to guard our homes, our families, our marriages in these last days, knowing that there is an enemy arrayed against us. We have to recognize him as a already defeated foe.
Yeah.
He has already been defeated, and you and your husband, or you and your wife, you are enforcing God's will in your family, in your marriage, in your life. You're enforcing Satan's defeat, but the will of God to be wrought and done in your family and in your household.
So good,
and that does not mean that you're going to be passive, that you're going to sit back and say, "Oh, God is going to do this for me." It does not work like that. Yeah. It works because you rise up, take your place, take your stand as the wife, as the husband, as the leaders in their home or with their children, and forbid the devil to come in there and rob, steal, kill, and destroy.
Good preaching. Good preaching.
You know, your children were given to you as gifts from God. Take those gifts and rededicate them back to him for his purposes. Mm-hmm. You are the steward over those gifts that he's given
Very
to
good.
You.
Very good,
and they're so valuable and precious in the sight of God. He wants his will to be wrought and done. The gifts, the talents, the abilities that you have.
Right.
Therefore, to glorify God with.
Yeah. Can I?
And so.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah.
Gotcha. And so, husbands, Men.
Come on, good.
It's time for you to rise up and be the spiritual leaders in your homes that God has called you to be, anointed you to be, said you are to be. And He did not leave you unequipped. He equipped you and gave you everything you need for what we've been sharing in
what
here.
What we shared is going to help you.
Yeah, to lead your home, that you don't have to be timid about it or shy or say, I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. God is for you. He's with you. He's in you. He's enabling you to stand up and be the men that God has called men to be. Hallelujah. And the husband and the father that He's called you to be.
Just start doing what God said instead of letting the devil trap you about your past, how you haven't been or all your mistakes. Tell the devil to shut up and get out.
Come on. Kick him out. Open the back door and kick him out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, if you got to go to your wife and apologize or to your children and apologize, whatever you need to do to get it, just begin doing what God's Word just said to do. Have a family meeting and say, okay, we're going to make some adjustments and it's going to begin with me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And here's the decisions we're going to make. You know, here's something very important. When you plant trees in your yard, you know, we just had a big windstorm not too long ago. If you had just planted smaller trees and stuff with the wind and the wet, a lot of times what happens is those trees get bent over. A lot of times people set them back up and then they tie them off. Even better, when they're young, you tie them off to begin with so that the weather can't pull them over. Why? What are you talking about? Well, that's how we're to train up our children. You bend them and you set them in the direction of God. Amen. And so that they are upright with God. Amen.
Yes.
And not blown around with the world and the winds and the whims of the devil.
Isaiah 54 verse 13 says that the children are disciples taught by the Lord and obedient to His will and His way.
Mm-hmm.
They're disciples taught by the Lord, and it starts in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at number one, taking steps to safeguard your home, making sure you keep the devil out and the parents are taking their place as the parents in the home, guarding their home. That's
right. Yeah, because the kids you can't expect the child to lead.
No.
It has to begin with the parents.
They're not meant to lead.
Yeah.
They're supposed to follow and learn from under their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So number one, we said make Jesus Christ your highest priority.
Very good.
Yeah. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, I'm going to read from the Amplified because I want to make sure that... everybody understands this here. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, when it comes to the rib of man, men and women do not have more ribs than the men. We all have the same amount of ribs, even though we were taken from the rib of a man. But I want to break it down a little bit about what that word rib means. And in verse 22, it says, and the rib, or the part of his side which the Lord God had taken from the man, He built up and made into a woman, and He brought her to the man.
Mm-hmm.
That word rib right there means for advice. It means for advice, and it also means the ability to read between the lines. So men, husbands, your wife actually makes you smarter. If you listen to your wife, she's that extra advice. She can see things that you can't see. She knows things that you don't know. Mm. It's just the way she was created and made.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we work together,
Husband
and wives, that you are a team. You realize you are a team for God, not two separate individuals doing what you can do. You are a team in the sight of God. Because the Bible says that One shall chase 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight. The prayer of agreement when a husband and wife come together and can believe God for anything.
Yep.
Whatever they agree upon.
That God's will is.
That it shall be done for them. Yep. I'm telling you, we've seen it over and over again.
Yeah, I come up with something or say something.
It's just the other night.
The
other night, I was like, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was like in the middle of the light. I was like, love, I just sense right now, I just need you to grab my hand. We're going to agree together right now. It was a literal attack against my physical body. Yep. And I was like, all right, Holy Ghost, how do you want me? What do you want me to, how do you want me to deal with this?
Yes, you did.
And the prayer of agreement came up. I said, got it. So I said, I woke him up. I was like, love, I need you to, I need you to agree with me right now. There's an attack coming against me, and the Holy Ghost said to pray the prayer of agreement. So I said, we're going to agree right now in Jesus' name as a husband and wife that this thing leaves and goes, and I will never have any more symptoms concerning it in Jesus' name. Well, we agreed, turned over, went back to sleep, never thought no more about it.
Praise the Lord.
That's how it's supposed to work. Yeah. Because in the spirit realm, God sees you as a team, a powerful team.
Victorious
team. And the devil does not like it when a husband and wife get together and they agree upon things concerning the Word of God. It is so powerful.
And this is why we have to grow in the Word. Many times people say, well, I wish I could do that, or they feel condemned because they've never done that. Listen, you got to start somewhere. We had to start somewhere. Yep. This is why it's so important. And the local church is going to help grow you in this. You cannot do what you don't know.
This
is why these examples from the Word, but how we live those things out, how we learn them is so important. You can catch that. And you can do that. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Now if we turn to Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18, I want us to look at this word helpmeet. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, I'm reading it from the Amplified. It says, now the Lord God said, it is not good or sufficient or satisfactory that the man should be alone. Think about that. Mm-hmm. God said that.
Right.
I will make him a helper meet or a help meet, suitable, adapted, complementary for him. Notice that the woman is called to adapt to her husband, not the man trying to adapt to his wife. The woman's responsibility is to adapt to her man, which God has appointed as a spiritual leader in their home. But that word helpmeet there, it means a strong military ally that sees the enemy. Helpmeet. A strong military ally that sees the enemy. Let's look at an example here as a cowboy driving a stagecoach and the woman is riding shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
She's that extra set of eyes that sees the enemy where the husband cannot see that.
And you got a sawed-off shotgun. Praise the Lord. A buckshot. Woo, in it.
Extra,
praise
extra,
the Lord.
Extra.
That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go, girl.
Amen. Amen. So she said extra. So you
set
see
of eyes,
where,
yeah.
where when God brings you together as husband and wife, that you are that powerful team together.
Yeah. And love, when you share that, then it's so important, because there's been so many times that you've looked at me and you said, love, I don't think you see this, but, you know, and then I said, well, yeah, you're right. And sometimes, you know what?
But because your man does not think like you think. He does not see it the way you see it, and he does not understand it the way you understand it.
I'm preaching.
Yep, it's just the truth.
Good word.
So when you bring the
it's
two together,
we need each
it
other.
It brings the
and the same way that the husband needs the wife and vice versa, so your children need the parents.
Yes.
Because the parents are going to see things that your children can't see.
So true. Yeah. What's that saying that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future?
Yeah. Yeah.
Parents, Be aware of who your children are around at all times, who's around them, who they're hanging out with,
where they spend
who
the night.
They're allowing to speak in their lives, yeah. who they're looking at all the time, who they're listening to all the time. Come on.
Yeah.
You should know as parents, yeah. I'm not invading their privacy. What privacy? Hello. Yeah. You're the parent. They're the children.
Yeah. You better put some, that deserved a hand clap. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. you better make sure that you have some blocks on the phone and some of the computers and the things that will keep
set
them.
Set boundaries, yeah. parents. Yeah. Set boundaries.
Yep. Even time frames that when they can and cannot do
Absolutely.
Certain things. It's for their benefit. You're not trying to be hard. You're not trying to be, you're leading.
That's
you're
right.
leading God's way. And as you get into this, God will show you.
Yeah.
And as you communicate things, God will show you how to be able to do that.
Yes, He will. So Father's Day is, as you are the spiritual leader in your home, leading your home spiritually. Here's some good things to start doing. Maybe you don't do this yet. Hey, it's always a time that you can start doing it. Don't feel condemned, bad, or I'm a bad husband, I'm a bad father. No. Lay all that aside, because that's just the enemy trying to bring you under condemnation so that your faith will not work.
That's
but
right.
your faith is going to work.
You're telling it.
Yes. So it says, here's a good one. Dads, fathers, pray with your family. I remember as a little girl when my dad would take us as a family into my brother's bedroom. We would get on our knees around his bed. Dad would have the Bible, put it on the bed, and read the Bible before us.
Very good.
Read it to us as a family. Then we would grab hands as a family and pray together before we went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, because they are spiritual, they never depart from your life. They make an impact. They get down in your spirit, and God brings those things back to your remembrance. I'm telling you, you'll never forget mm-hmm. those things.
Now, on the flip side of that coin, I didn't have that. I had wonderful parents. My mom always made me to go to church. And she taught me right from wrong, but as far as spiritual, I don't ever remember praying except for my grandmother kept me, and then you prayed something like this, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the soul my Lord to take."
You pray the
Well, see, I didn't even see.
The soul to take.
Yeah, whatever. Praise the Lord. That's, And we did bless, we made sure we blessed the food at every meal. My mom made sure of that. Now listen. It doesn't mean they were atheists or God's haters and everything, but you can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
My point of sharing this, you see how it positively affected Pastor Debbie? I didn't have that, even though I had wonderful parents, disciplinaries and those kind of things, wonderful providers. But I didn't have that spiritual side, even though they may be go to church. But just going to church don't mean you're going to be spiritual or get what you need. Come on. So the point that I'm making is you can't let what you didn't have be an excuse for why you stayed the way you are.
Come on now.
You cannot let that be. Mm-mm. And this is why it's so important at a local church. You don't get trapped by your past. Say, if it's going to be, it's going to be because I'm going to do something with this. I don't look back and blame my parents for anything. I'm accountable. And so, you know, the worst thing that we can do is blame where we are on what didn't happen or someone
Come
else.
On.
Take personal responsibility and say, what do I need to do? When we heard what the Word said, we forgot about everything else. It wasn't a blame game. I'm not mad at this. I'm not mad at this. I'm so thrilled about this inheritance right here.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
it changed everything.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
And it caused us to love the people that, even better, the ones that should have helped us in that but didn't know how themselves. So you can't give what you don't have, but don't let that trap you.
Right.
Praise God.
Right. So we said praying together, reading the Bible together. Dad, fathers, lead your family to church. Church attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That they understand that's a vital part of their
life. See, and we always say, it's not about how many times you come and like perfect attendance. If you only come in to fill the seat, That's the wrong reason. Yeah. We want you to come so we can teach you to be the church. Mm-hmm. Be the church. Mm-hmm. That's what we say, why come to church is so important. Because you be the church that Jesus said, I'll build and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Understanding your sonship, understand your inheritance, understand your authority makes all the difference.
Yeah. And if you're a single parent in here today, God honors you for where you are. So
yes,
don't feel.
He wants to help you.
That's right. No yeah. condemnation there. God yeah. will meet you right
and let
where
the
you
church
are.
Partner with you and
there
help
you. Go.
You.
Yes. 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 You know, statistics say that the dads or the fathers have the greatest influence in their home. Mm-hmm. The dads. Mm-hmm. The fathers.
No wonder there's
the a lack
of that.
Children are going to look up to those fathers and dads more than anything yeah. in that home. It's just the way it is. And so that's why the Lord has called the dads to rise up and be the influence in their home when it comes to spiritual leadership. You know, you have to look and think about what is necessary for my family? What is necessary for my household, for my marriage? Mm-hmm. What is necessary? Learning to do it God's way.
That's it.
You had Martha and Mary when Jesus went to visit them at their home. And you had Martha who was cumbered about with so many things that she left the feet of Jesus and went to prepare and get this big fixing for this big meal. And because Jesus was there in her home. But Mary, who started out helping her sister, left her sister and went and sat at the feet of Jesus. And Martha was like, Lord, can you tell my sister to help come and help me again? I need her help. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're busy about many things, but there are some things that are more necessary. And Mary has chosen that which is most necessary. Mm-hmm. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening, taking the time, spending the time with Him.
And you have to do that personally.
Yes,
in
you
your
do.
Own time. But also you realize that, that just moves from home, personal, taking time doing those things. But also you can, when you come to the local church, that should help that as well. Praise the Lord. Be part of that equation.
Yeah. So dads, I want to encourage you this morning to be stirred up all the time. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie, stirred up? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, it says, don't let the sun go down on your
wrath, anger.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to bring up. The Amplified says in verse 26, when angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath or your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down, but leave no such room or foothold to the devil and give no opportunity to him. In other words, it's saying never stop having a righteous indignation against the devil and what he's trying to do. Always be stirred up against the enemy and him trying to come in any way that he can and steal, rob, and destroy in your household. Keep that righteous indignation stirred up in you so that you don't give place to the devil and become passive and just allow anything in your home or against your marriage or against your children. No. Keep stirred up. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, it says, Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and so do his ministers. Oh my. Mm-hmm. He makes it look good and making them think it's all right, it's all good, everything is fine, and it ends up being totally opposite. Totally opposite. And when it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices or unaware of or unknowledgeable of how he plays his games, his schemes, his trickery, his wiles. No, we have to be wiser than our enemy. Come on now. And recognize him for who he is.
He's seeking about who he may devour. Don't let him be one that he can devour.
Right.
And you have to be righteously angry and resisting him.
Yes.
In order to stay in the position of faith and victory that Jesus won for us.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. How we doing? Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Yep.
Stirred up.
Built up.
Built up.
Yep.
Filled up.
Learn to do it God's way.
Yeah.
We're still learning to do it God's way.
Yes, we are.
Because as pastors and leaders, we always have to make adjustments. We can get better at that. I pray that. I pray that Pastor Deb and I are, you know, a tremendous blessing to you. It makes a difference whether, you know, how we feed and how we lead. And how we care for the flock, know the state of the flock, which were the herds. And, you know, thank God for our pastoral staff that helps assist, because we certainly could not do it all. And we thank God for a congregation that's strong, that reaches out to one another, that we're not the only ones that make phone calls, but you care one for another. And you reach out and you encourage and you inspire and you pray and love one another.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God. You know, love, in closing today, I think some of the things that obviously that we've shared has been very beneficial. But one of the things, let's just kind of step around to the front if we can, or together. And, you know, pastoring is, for instance, you know, it is much like caring for a family, because this is a family. It's a household of faith. Amen. And as we therefore have the opportunity to do good unto all people, especially to the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. But one of the things that, you know, that I would say as the pastor of the church, that today I'm sure that everyone that's a member of this church or that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life at some time in their life, I'm reminding you today, in case you have forgotten, of how much that God loves you. And how much He cares for you. You're able to do what God says you're able to do. Amen. Just because you haven't done it, or there's many things you have, isn't it amazing how the devil would just pick on one or two things that you've heard today that maybe you don't measure up in, and the devil would decide to sit there and condemn you? You need to kick the devil out of that. And just say, by the grace of God, God is helping me to be better, amen, and to fulfill the plan of God and to do it God's way, amen. And then there's great joy and fulfillment in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a journey that we're on.
Yes, it is.
And it's all about not our will, but God's will in order to be successful. Remember, finding God's will for our life and doing it. Praise God. But on the other hand, this, we, you know, as a pastor, you know, you want every person. There's not one person. And listen to what I'm getting ready to say. It's not one person I want to see die and go to hell.
Come on.
Not one person. You know, there's people that are, the Bible calls them corruptors of the earth, call them haters of God, and all those kind of things. And yet, God knows who they are. It's not my job to condemn anyone. People are condemned anyway when they reject Jesus Christ. You know, the very scripture that we quote, John 3:16, so God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through Him. But we forget to read the next verse. It says, he that believeth on Him, verse 18, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It's always on my heart and Pastor Debbie's heart that when we look back at our own lives, that we didn't even know that we needed or how to make Jesus the Lord of our life to be right with God. I thought that because I grew up in church and thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things, thought because I shook the preacher's hand, was water baptized as a child, thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me, that I was right with God. But you know my testimony. At March the 30th, 1986, at 24 years of age, I heard a message that let me know I had done God my own way. And my way is not the right way, neither is your way. I came to God on my way instead of God's. But I heard a message that let me know that even though I believed in God, I had never done what God told me to do with His Son. And that is to accept Him as my personal Lord and Savior. And I realize, just like you love, many times people are just like us. They're lost and don't even know it. And matter of fact, I would have swore to you if I died, I'd make it to heaven. And yet there are people that know they were saying, I'm just going to go to hell with all my friends, and know they bust hell wide open. But I'm here today to tell you, just like a parent would a child or the neighbor's child, I want you to know that God loves you, and you don't have to do any of, you don't have to be lost, you don't go have to go to hell. There's a real place, a real heaven and a real hell, and there's a hell to shun and heaven to make your home, a heaven to gain. And today it is my desire that if you're here today, and there's never been a time that you made